welcome to the Church of the Redeemer's Weekly Podcast. We pray that you will enjoy this week's sermon, and we hope that you will follow us at www.cotrb.org, and may God continue to bless you.
We have so much to praise Him for. Hallelujah. Somebody had asked a Christian about where was God in the midst of this pandemic. But the truth of the matter is, if we have read our Bible, we know that there was a time when God wiped out the whole population on the earth. But He didn't do it this time. We could have been falling over in the streets dying if it had not been for the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. And it could have been us who was outdoors with no food and no clothes. Sometimes the Lord have to give us a glimpse of something by letting something get a little funny with our money or something. Sometimes just to let us know about how He had us all the time when we just thought it was us and our skills and our degree and all that stuff that got us that job. Oh, help us, Holy Ghost. We're alive and we are saved. If we ain't got nothing else to praise Him for, we are on our way to heaven. Heaven, hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Ooh, God gets all the glory today, bless His holy name. Ooh, hallelujah, Lord God, hallelujah, hallelujah. And as Minister Tamika was saying, in a sense, there's only two times to praise the Lord, and that's when you feel like it and when you don't, because no matter what, He's worthy to be praised. I don't care if we just got furloughed. I don't care if we need another stimulus check or whatever the case may be. I don't care what the doctor told us. I don't care. God is worthy to be praised, and either He's in control or He's not. Psalm 37:23 says, our steps are ordered by Him, and He delights in our way. So the whole thing about it is we got to go through some stuff, and God made provision in His word. That's another thing we can praise Him for. Everything we're going through, He made provision in His word to encourage us. But we won't know that unless we get in His word. Amen. Sometimes when you really feel low, you can jump in here to Psalm 13 and say, how long, Lord? How long? Will You forget me forever? Because somebody's feeling like that today. Right. Like He's forgot you. But then you have to get into that sacrifice of praise. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Oh, gosh, you got this thing going on all up in here, all up in here. But hallelujah, Lord, it's all about Him anyhow. It's not about me preaching the word. It's about the preacher preaching the word. And He knows who we are today and where we are. And He wants to speak to each and every one of us, not only here in the sanctuary, but in the sanctuary that's out there on Facebook. Those who are in their cars driving right now, somebody said, I got to pull over because I got to thank Him. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I know about that, being in the car, and you get that, the Holy Ghost sneak up on you sometime. Oh, yes, He does. But hallelujah, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. It could be our last day. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And one thing about it, we may be rejoicing about the results of the election, but I think as Minister D was even saying too, God is in control. God is in control. And the bottom line is, if we're really excited about it, then we're going to be praying. Because it really didn't matter which one got in, it's a mess going on. And they need the wisdom of God to know what to do. So if we really want to be supportive, even with our vote, be supportive with our prayers. Amen, because they're going to need our prayers. Amen. Praise the Lord. I do give God thanks and praise for another day. I thank and praise Him for another birthday yesterday. And this is what me and Him was doing yesterday on my birthday. Hallelujah. And, you know, only the preacher know when you sitting there. I'm like, Lord, it's my birthday. And He said, yeah, it's your birthday. Come on, let's do this. Oh, hallelujah. Praise His holy name. But I do give Him the praise and I give Him the glory and for the awesome privilege of being able to speak for Him at any given moment in time. And I praise the Lord as I look out in the sanctuary. In the midst of this pandemic, I want to tell all you who are on Facebook today, the sanctuary is packed. based on pandemic requirements. It's packed today. So we praise the Lord for making a way for those who desire to come into the house of worship, the actual physical house, to be able to come in. But guess what? When I'm at my house, it's the house too. It's the sanctuary. Oh, hallelujah. And I can act up real good when I'm in my own sanctuary. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. But today our focus is, just for a little while, prayerfully, don't give up. Pray. Because God is good. And our scripture today is coming from Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18. Luke chapter 18, and I will be reading verses 1 through 8. Luke chapter 18, and the word of God for us thusly. Lord, please open up our spirits that we may behold wondrous things out of your law. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. He said, in a certain town there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with the plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said to himself, even though I don't fear God or what people think, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me. And the Lord says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice, and quickly. And then the rhetorical question is, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Our key verse today, our focal verse, is verse 1, not the parable. And in the NIV, it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. In the New American, it says, now he was telling them a parable to show them that at all times they ought to pray and not become discouraged. And in the Living, it says, one day Jesus told his disciples a story to illustrate their need for constant prayer and to show them that they must keep praying until the answer comes. The word of the Lord. Will you bow in prayer with me? Father, we come and we bless your name, and we thank you so much for blessing all of us with another day. God, we thank you for this is a day that we can lift you up, that we can praise you, that we can seek you. This is the day that you have made and you have included us. And now, God, we need you to speak to us and minister this word as only you can. Have your way, God. And bless each one under the sound of my voice to hear what you're saying to them specifically. And then to the church at large. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. We need a word from you. Holy Spirit, I yield to you now in Jesus' name. Amen. And I do ask that you all would pray for Minister Tamika and myself this morning because she's going to be helping me to preach. And we did not practice. Amen. Praise the Lord. The anointing of the Lord is upon us. Hallelujah. Now, a parable is a simple story, like the Living Bible said, to illustrate a moral or spiritual lesson. However, the parable is not, as I mentioned, is not the focus today. Only the first verse. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And the implication in the language there is that it is necessary to always pray and never give up. What's prayer? Simply, prayer is talking to God. Billy Graham defined it as a spiritual communication between God and man. And that makes sense. After all, God is a spirit, and we are actually spirit beings having a human experience. How long do we pray for something before we give up? Days? Weeks? Months? Years? I remember a person stopped praying years ago because I gave them John 9:31, which says that God doesn't hear the prayers of sinners, because you have to be in the family to get his ear. And she didn't pray for a while because I told her that. But she did get saved. Hallelujah. Does the fervency, the passion of our prayers, increase or decrease over time? And how does the length of time we have to wait for an answer impact our relationship with God? Especially when someone else who is praying for the same thing gets an answer before we do. And they get the answer we're hoping for. And wait for it. You ready? They're not even walking with the Lord. Anybody besides me been there? Oh, hallelujah. I remember years ago when I used to be praying, because it was me and my husband, we got married with two unsaved people getting married. And so the Lord saved me first, and I'm praying for him to be saved. And when the Lord saved my neighbor's husband, I had a problem. I had to sit down and really have a little talk with Jesus, because I didn't know that we don't earn things from the Lord. I had to learn that. And I had to learn that God is sovereign. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants, and to whom he wants. What is it that we have stopped praying for? I wonder how God feels when we give up on him. Oh, that's not what you're doing? Somebody protested emphatically. Well, what else would you call it then? If it's not giving up on God when we stop praying. In our focal verse, Jesus was teaching his disciples to always pray and never give up. Hebrews 4:16 says, "So let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy, and we will find grace to help us when we need it most." Philippians 4:6, which is the third time we heard this since last Sunday, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." And if you missed the Bible study Wednesday, I suggest you go get it. It's time to break up with anxiety. Amen? Oh, amen. It did me good to get another dose. Hallelujah. Oh, come on, everybody. Anybody else in here besides us up here get anxious sometimes? Oh, okay, we just want to make sure we was all human and all in this thing together, because, you know, we're sitting back looking spiritual and stuff. We ain't saying amen at those certain things, but praise God. Mark 11:25 says, "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against." Ooh, that one just kind of caused us to swoon a minute there, didn't it? Let me go back on that one. Mark 11:25, it's in the book. "But when you are praying, first forgive anyone you are holding a grudge against, so that your Father in heaven will forgive your sins too." Somebody say, hurry up and get to the next verse. Oh, hallelujah. The Lord knows the things we have need of. Amen. And he's growing us, amen. And he's breaking us and molding us and making us more like Christ. 1 John 5:14-15 says, "Now this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, then we know that we have the petitions we've desired of him." Well, how do I know what God's will is? Whoop. There it is. The will of God. Genesis through revelation. Today, we're going to dissect a prayer that was written and sung by Jonathan McReynolds. My prayer is that our look at this prayer will heighten our own prayer lives and encourage us to gain understanding of what it is that we are praying. Minister Tamika.
May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles prove that you need God. May your battles in the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good.
The first part of the prayer is, may your struggles keep you near the cross. What is a struggle? Well, a struggle is a very difficult effort. It's dictionary stuff. To strive, to labor in difficulty, to fight for or against something. It's also strife, contention, great effort. Straight up, struggles are what we're going through from any one of our three enemies or any combination of them. The world, the flesh, and the devil. In John 16:33, Jesus says, I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world, you will have trouble, struggles. New Living says, many trials. You will have many trials and sorrows. The New Revised says, in this world, you will face persecution. All those are struggles. But Jesus says, but take heart. I have overcome the world. Galatians 5:17 delineates for us the struggle we are going to have with our flesh. In the New Living, it says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite of what the sinful nature desires. Yeah. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So that you are not free to carry out your good intentions. And let the church say, amen. Then there's the devil, the Satan, the accuser of the brethren. James 4:7 tells us how to deal with him. First, we must submit ourselves to God. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. But you cannot resist him without first submitting yourself to God. Struggles, Minister Tamika.
May your struggles keep you near the cross.
What does keeping near the cross do for me in the midst of my struggles? Well, let's look at what happened there. At the cross. Jesus died for us there. He shed his blood for us there. Because without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, glory, hallelujah, is nailed to the cross. And I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. And as I heard some preachers say, you missed your shout just then. Oh, glory, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. My sin, not in part, but the whole, hallelujah, all of it has been nailed to the cross. And we bear our sins no more. Praise his holy name. Keeping near the cross will help us to remember that it is at the expense of another. that we've been forgiven. We're completely forgiven today for past, present, and future sin. And yet knowing we'll be forgiven for anything and everything should make us want to not sin, to stop anything we know is a sin, and to make the choice that Moses did, to suffer with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Hebrews 11:25. Keeping near the cross helps us to live for him, because although the cross is empty now, we must never forget that he hung there, he suffered there, he bled there, and died there, giving us uninhibited entry into the very throne room of God. Oh, hallelujah. Let us remember this as we take communion today. Troubles, Minister Tamika.
May your troubles prove that you need God.
Troubles, difficulties, problems, distressful or dangerous situations. And they also come at us from three fronts. Same three fronts: the world, the flesh, and the devil. How do my troubles show that I need God? Because we really can't handle them by ourselves. Well, this happened, that happened. Child, go to the store and get me a pack of cigarettes. Because that's how I used to deal with my stress, my troubles. Or what's that behind that bar we used to have at the house? Those are some of the go-tos. Some of the other people had to make a phone call. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Oh, glory, hallelujah. Because we use that, ooh and an ah, to help us with our stress. We can't handle them, our troubles, by ourselves. God did not make us to handle stress. And how do I know that? Philippians 4:6. He said, be anxious for nothing. He said nothing. He wouldn't have said it if it was impossible. How many of us were about to have heart failure over this election? Thinking that whoever was going to win was going to be in control of our lives. He said, be anxious for nothing. Too many times when troubles arise, we panic and look to everything except God. Call Monique. Monique ain't there. We call DeAndre. Oh, she ain't there. We calling everybody but him. And sometimes he makes it so that everybody we call ain't there. He's shutting it down. Because he said, I'm here. I'm right here. Oh, God created us to depend on him once we became his children. And he is committed to helping us. If we need wisdom to solve our problems, James 1:5 says, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. Not call Monique, not call DeAndre, not call Ollie. Ask God. And then God will say, call Monique. You understand what I'm saying? But we want to go to the people first instead of going to God first. Because then he's going to give an answer for me. But he said, if you lack wisdom, you ask him, because he gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. That means he ain't going to say, what's wrong with you? You don't know that? You know, like some people with some skin on us say to us. Minister Tamika, do the troubles again.
May your troubles prove that you need God.
Psalm 46:1 says, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Psalm 34:6-19 says, this poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he will strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Psalm 37, 25 and 26 says, and the Lord would kept me messing with this. So this is for somebody, because I was going to take it out. And he was like, leave it in. I have been young and now am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his children begging for bread. He is ever lending generously, and his children become a blessing. Isaiah 41, 10 says, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Battles, Minister Tamika.
Hallelujah. May your battles in the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good.
May our battles end the way they should. How should our battles end? How should they end? How should they end? How have they been ending for us in our individual lives? There's only one way our battle should be ending: in victory. 1 Samuel 17:47, when David was talking to Goliath, he said, all those gathered here will know that it is not by sword or spear that the Lord saves, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give all of you into our hands. Romans 12:19 says, do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. Romans 8:36 and 37, as it is written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. Knowing all these things, here comes the victory. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. Praise the Lord. Bad days, Minister Tamika.
May your bad days end the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good.
How do my bad days prove that God is good? Bad days come, and they catch us off guard, so to speak. They give us a sucker punch to the gut, a call from the hospital, or worse than that, word that a loved one has been snatched away suddenly by death. News that we've been furloughed, and we just bought that house. A note from our mate that they're leaving. A suicidal child. A scary medical diagnosis, either for us or for a loved one. There's a myriad of things that could constitute a bad day. But how could any of that prove that God is good? Well, first and foremost, there is some way that things could have been worse. You know, all of us look at things and say, thank you, Lord, that you didn't let this happen when this was happening, because I couldn't have dealt with it. Think about this. God didn't let the pandemic happen until we had all the technology in place for us to be able to still meet and communicate. When I was on duty last week, I met a 41-year-old woman. In case somebody thinks, well, I don't know about all them bad days. When she was 30, she was diagnosed with breast cancer. And in between then and 41, she also got bone cancer. And now she has brain cancer. And she's going home to her husband and her two children to die. there's some way that our stuff could have been worse. The Holy Ghost has to minister that, though, because I'd be here all day trying to enumerate the ways our bad days could have been worse. Secondly, a bad day proves that God is good because we have been adopted into God's family, and so we have God's ear, his attention, which means we can get a prayer through. And thirdly, we're not alone. God promised to never leave us, and if we will remember that on our bad days, then we will include him in our pain instead of just trying to bear up under it by ourselves. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Nahum 1:7 says, "The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And he knows those who trust in him." Whole life, Minister Tamika.
May your whole life prove that God is good.
How does my whole life prove that God is good? I think each one of us could have the answer to that today. Psalm 23:6. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever throughout our whole life." James 1:17 and then beyond. Thank you, Lord. James 1:17 says, "Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows." And I would challenge everyone under the sound of my voice today, at some point before your head hits the pillow, sit down with pen and paper and start writing down all the ways that God is good and has been good to you over your whole life. Psalm 27:13 says, "I remain confident in this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living." Psalm 34:8, "Taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him." Don't know about you, but I could have been dead and perhaps should have been dead. Instead of celebrating my birthday yesterday, I could have been flushed away and never seen the light of day. Come on, somebody. Hey. They have ways of flushing things away all throughout time. We won't get into all those things, but it could have happened to me because the circumstances of my birth were not ideal. All that stuff that happened during the first 31 years of my life, before I met the Savior, that is, could have taken me out. All that stuff we did, all that stuff we said, all those places we went and should not have been there, and so forth and so on, could have led to our demise. But those years had to be as they were, so to speak, because they showed us our need for a Savior. Oh, thank Jesus. Thank the Lord for blessing us to get sick of our sin. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. 37 and a half years ago, I became a child of the King. And all my sins were paid for. I tell you today, saints, don't be embarrassed about your past, because your past is what brought you to the Lord. And this is why we should always pray and never give up. That stuff should have taken us out of here. But God says, "No, I know the plans I have for you, daughter, for you, son, to give you a hope and a future." And we didn't even yet know that we was in his family. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. He had a future for us. When you was throwing up over the toilet, drinking too much again, he had a plan for your future. He had a life for you. When you was out there in the motel with you know who, and you was married to you know who, God still had a plan. He had a plan to give you a future. He had a plan for you. He knew everything. He said, "I know the plans I have for you, and none of that stuff you did is going to change my plans for you." Oh, hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody right here today and somebody out there in Facebook, your life is all screwed up. You said you weren't going to do that again. You weren't going to see him again. You did it again. You snuck around the other way and you saw him again. And you're sitting up here and you feel so guilty. God is saying, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden with sin, and I will give you rest. He said, take his yoke upon him. Learn of him. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. He will forgive you. And then he will enable you to stop it. Oh, hallelujah. If we could do it on our own, we wouldn't need a savior. Oh, hallelujah. That's right. He's got a future for you. He's got a future for you.
Yeah.
Somebody got to know that today. He's got a future for you. It ain't over because your life ain't over. Don't you worry about that diagnosis. He's got a future for you. Oh, hallelujah. You're going to have to go through the treatments, but he's got a future for you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. No. I heard you. You didn't mess up too many times. God said, come on home. Come on back. He's been waiting for you. He's been looking down the road like the father of the prodigal son, looking down the road, see if you was coming back. And you coming back and you all beat up and you all messed up and you all diseased up. But he said, come on back, baby. I got you and I still have a future for you. I still have a future for you. He said, I still have a future for you. You're going to have to go through some things. He said, but my plan for you only requires a yes. That's all God wants from us, a yes. Yes, just a yes. You might have to be bullied before you get to that fulfillment. You might have to be teased. Molested. You might have to bear up under the burden of a skin condition and later on find out that your thyroid is too slow. You may get some other diagnoses that may be likened to Jacob's limp. And that's for that one who's been kicking against the goads, fighting God. Basically, you and I may be left for dead by the world. But that's okay, because our Savior was left for dead by the world too. But he got up. He got up so that we could get up. Oh, hallelujah. Get up out of that mess that we have made of our lives. Get us up out of thinking that we couldn't be used because of our limp, whether it's figurative or actual. The Lord Jesus got up with all power in his hands, so that each one of us could have a new life in him. Hallelujah. In him. It's in him that we live and move and have our being. His ear is open to our cry. So keep praying, my sisters and brothers. God hears, and he has not forgotten us. We may find ourselves in God's waiting room right now because he's doing a perfect work. But in his time, I say in his time, he's the Savior. He's God. So it has to be in his time that he's going to make all things beautiful, even that in his time. So pray and pray and keep on praying because our God is nothing like an unjust judge, but he is the I am who does all things well. Bow down today, saint, to his sovereignty and ask him to help you while you're waiting on him, to help you through your struggles and your troubles and in the midst of your battles. Don't give up on God because he won't give up on you ever. Not ever. Hallelujah. Pray and keep on praying. The widow kept on going to the unjust judge because she meant business. She was already being treated as an outcast, but she had a need, a real one, so she didn't give up. We don't have an unjust judge. We have a righteous, loving Father. And sometimes he may want to know if we really want something. Plus, he's not raising spoiled brats who think they're going to run their father. He also knows what's best for us. He knows for some of us, we can't handle the answer, the blessing, too soon. We might walk away from him with the blessing. He also knows that the answer to our prayers sometimes is within the waiting period. See, we're growing. We're maturing during the wait. And sometimes that prayer that we've been praying for so long changes. For the longest time, it may have been, oh, Lord, please change her. Please change him. And now we pray, oh, Lord, please change me. Or we may have been praying for a mate, but we were not yet mate worthy, at least not for the one God has chosen for us. Let me drop something on you here. I learned early on my journey that we should never pray a prayer we're not willing to be an answer to. Oh, Lord, please bless the church with more money. Hallelujah. Are we willing to pray continuously, perhaps for years, for what we desire from the Lord? As our song concludes, and it is a prayer, God is good. Do our prayers end in praise and or adoration of our God, or include any acknowledgement of the fact that God is good? Or do we just make our petition and say, thank you, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen, and get up? But the fact is, he is good. And he will not withhold any good thing from them that walk uprightly before him. Hallelujah. You still waiting today? Keep on waiting and don't give up. And while you're waiting, pray. 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 Because God is good. The whole thing, Minister Tamika.
May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles prove that you need God. May your battles in the way they should. May your bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good. May your struggles keep you near the cross. May your troubles prove that you need God. May bad days prove that God is good. May your whole life prove that God is good.
Before we celebrate the ordinance of communion, we're going to pray. There's something that you made a decision about. It might have been years ago, months ago, weeks ago. You decided, I'm not going to pray about that anymore. There's something that you put in a box, put away in a dark corner and locked it up, and nobody's seen it since, not even you. And the Lord has not heard from you concerning this because somewhere you got discouraged. Somewhere a voice came in and said, it's never going to happen and you're wasting your time. That dream that God gave you, that seed that the Lord gave to you to sow, that thing that looks like it's still impossible, that you put away. Well, the Lord is asking you now, bring it back out. Open up the box and lay it at my feet. And so we're going to pray today for all the ways in which over the years life has discouraged us, has told me, has told you that it's impossible. Well, the Bible reminds us that with God, all things are possible. So together, church, with all the courage and faith of the word, through the reminder of the preached message that yes, God is still good, the same God, the one who gave you that word, the one who gave you that vision, the one who gave you that dream, the one who told you to hold on and continue to pray, that is the one to whom we go on this morning. Lord, we come, your children, your sons and daughters. And Lord, we come, the ones who even right now are confessing their faith to you, the ones who had not yet known you but are saying, Lord, I yield, what must I do to be saved? You welcome into the family, and even right now, they have a right to come to your throne boldly. And so together, oh God, we come. We come, Lord God, some of us with hardened hearts, some of us with minds that are not yet convinced that you can do what you said that you would do. Some of us, oh God, who with tears in our eyes because we still don't really believe to see the salvation of the Lord in the land of the living. Some of us, oh God, have been convinced that there is no way. But thanks be to God that you remind us that you are the way. You are the truth and the light. So, oh God, restore to us the joy of salvation. Oh God, help us to lift up heavy heads and bow down hearts that have given over the dreams that you've had for us. Lord, you reminded us that you know the plans that you have for us. And oh God, where we would not even share them with others because they sounded so beyond this world, oh God, give us the courage to bring them before you now. Lord, give us a persistent faith. Give us, oh God, a pull towards your word that you poured out to us today to remind us again and again that you are the ever-present one. You are the loving, gracious, and kind God. And if you've said it to us, oh God, you are not a man that you should lie, but you are our God, and we trust and we love you. Now, Lord God, as we move into the reminder of the table, oh God, thank you for reminding us that communion means that we get to sit down with our brothers and sisters and sit down with you. You are not a far-off God, but you are the God who is ever near. Help us to trust you again with the dreams. Help us to trust you again with the hopes that you've given to us. And more than anything, oh God, help us to trust you. We thank you together in the matchless name of Jesus. Amen.